What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Where the Rockets stand in the West, it's been a question that I've been pondering for a little while, especially when you consider that this year, and maybe it was a little bit last year, especially in February when they really started hitting their groove and you go, ooh, this might be a thing. I was like, this team is crossing the Rubicon into the place where they are no longer a team to be judged by 82. They're a team to be judged by 16. And that is a way of saying, what they do in the regular season and the record, I think, is less impactful on the way that you judge them versus what they do and what they are capable of doing in the playoffs. And so that makes it weird judging where the Rockets are right at this moment, because we could look at them and say that they're fourth in the West. We could look at them and say that they've, you know, had some struggles against some poor teams in December. But I want to kind of take this to another level, B-Sky, which I know you are very capable of, as you do all sorts of Rockets things all around the city. Where do they actually stand in the West and in the league? Especially when we talk about that possibility of being a nuisance, being a menace in the playoffs at this moment.
Yeah, I think it is right where a lot of us thought it was going into the season, and that's somewhere situated clearly behind Oklahoma City and the Denver Nuggets. Both of those teams have played, and I would even put the Rockets right there as well, have played right up to about expectation. Like, if you had asked me this question, and we're doing it here on New Year's Eve going into 2026, but if you'd asked me this question right before the season started, I would have said, matter of fact, I think somebody actually did. I was at a Rockets game. DJ Bienemy, for some reason, was there. Maybe this was at a Texans practice. But either way, DJ Bienemy, who covers the Texans for ESPN, also a basketball fan, was like, hey, man, what do you think? This is basically this exact question. Like, I think the Rockets are for real. Where do you think they rank? I'm like, man, they're somewhere behind Oklahoma City and Denver. And despite the fact that the standings right now have both Denver and the Rockets behind the Spurs, so it's Oklahoma City and it's the Spurs who look up and have beaten Oklahoma City not once, not twice, but three times this year already. Okay, once in the Cup and then two normal regular season games.
That's right.
And two of them that were relatively close together and convincing. I still have the Rockets right there behind. So I would reorder this and go, instead of the actual standings of Thunder, Spurs, Nuggets, Rockets, I would go Thunder, Nuggets, Rockets, Spurs. I still feel like that is the order, that is the hierarchy. And a lot of it has to do with some of the stuff that we were celebrating yesterday with Kevin Durant. Okay, like that to me, just to oversimplify it, has been the fixer for a lot of what ailed the Rockets offensively. And then the fact that their defense has picked up. Now, it has its inconsistencies, but when you look at them on both ends of the floor.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like they are the most complete team, not named Oklahoma City. And then Denver is just a menace offensively. I know Jokic is hurt right now, but he just kind of changes the calculus for everything. But after that, I think it's Oklahoma City, then Houston as the most complete team, but then Denver squeezed in between the two of them because they have Jokic and an offense that is, at points this season, has been historically good.
Yeah, but Jokic out for at least a month with the hyperextended knee. We mentioned that yesterday. Yeah,
and that changes some things.
It changes some things. I think it changes the regular season standings of it. I don't think it changes what we're talking about here.
Right.
Now, and I think this is what I was trying to say yesterday, and I don't know how good of a job I did of it, because this does not appear, at least, to be one of those major injuries that takes him away from the team, like, for a more permanent stretch, like one of those, oh, here's an ACL for, you know, 9 to 10 months, something like that. Because this is one something like that, and because of the particular style of his game, I don't think that this changes the way that they play basketball. I think this actually offers them an opportunity to continue to lean into some of the younger guys that need to be a part of their rotation. But that's more Denver talk. I really think that you have honed in on the portion of this, the underlying question in this question, which is, where do the Rockets compare with the Spurs? Because the Spurs appear to be significantly further along in their development process than we had anticipated. And it is not just because they got the 7'5 freak dude over there. The likes of Dylan Harper has come along incredibly quickly. The likes of, obviously, Stephon Castle. The benefit, I've been saying this in the CP3 range where people are talking about him and like, oh man, I don't know about him being a veteran, experience giver type dude. And it's like, oh, well, look at Stephon Castle, because that is a CP3 joint right there.
Yeah.
But even still, I think that they great defensively as a team. They've got some vets in there. But I do wonder if experience is one of the places where they pale in comparison to the Rockets, where you have Kevin Durant. And then some of the other staples that are younger have also at least garnered the Golden State Warriors series last year.
Yeah, I think that is the main part that's keeping a lot of people, myself included, and I'll just speak for myself here. That's what's keeping me from believing in the Spurs. I thought actually Charles Barkley did a good job on Christmas Day. You know, they had all the games, right? ABC, ESPN, and of course Inside the NBA is with them now. So they were on all day. And I thought, you know, they get a lot of flack for being, you know, not enough substantive basketball talk. But I thought he did a really good job of pointing out the thing about the Spurs that makes them unique and dangerous. And he qualified it by saying, I don't know or don't think that they're ready to win a championship yet. Right. And that speaks to the youth. And so I just reiterate that point. But what they do have, obviously, Wimby, that matters. But then on top of that, just serious, serious guard play on both ends of the floor. You mentioned Stephon Castle and Dylan Harper, the rookie. Stephon Castle being the rookie of the year last year and Dylan Harper, the number 2 overall pick, who's been really good for them this year. You ain't even get to De'Aaron Fox
off the bench.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they've got guards galore, it feels like. Vassell, like, they just got so many guys that can get it done on both ends of the floor that it does make them a legitimate threat and it does make them legitimately scary. But I still lean toward the experience, the defense, the length that the Rockets have. And then I'm not even leaving room for, I haven't even talked about, well, what if the Rockets figure out the point guard thing? What if the Rockets start shooting more threes, and they're already shooting them well. They just shoot the least amount of anybody.
Correct.
What if that number ticks up and they become a little bit more of a prolific offense on top of what they're already doing? I think they'll really be cooking with grease at that point.
How do you rank those things that you just mentioned in power ranking in the possibility of them happening, the probability even? Because when you said figuring out the point guard thing, I actually continue to view that as the most far-fetched, like fully fledged answer. The best answer in my mind, and of course, what do I know? But the best answer in my mind to this point is the little scuttlebutt and hopium that's been dropped out there that, hey, maybe Fred VanVleet comes back in March or something, right? I think that's actually the most plausible answer that I've seen, because as of right now, it feels like it's just get the ball into the best player's hands and hope that they don't turn the ball over.
Yeah, no, you asked me to rank them. I would say that the whole thing is hopium. Like, whether I...
Oh, shooting more threes?
No. I'm sorry. The point guard part.
Okay.
The whole point guard aspect of it is hopium. Whether, no matter which side of it is, whether it's the Fred VanVleet return or the continued development of Reed Shepard, at this point, I think you're just hoping that either one of those guys can actually be or fill that void that you have right now. So if I'm going to rank them, I'm going to put that below the 3-point thing, which I think they can absolutely do. They're getting good looks. They're just not, to me, shooting enough of them. They have enough guys who are capable that can shoot them. So I think that part is, if I was ranking them, the much more likely of the two. You know, much more likely to shoot more threes and be good at it than, say, Fred VanVleet comes back from the ACL or Reed Shepard turns into this bona fide point guard, which, you know, I am high on, but also realistic about. Like, you know, you only got but so much time for that to happen.
I also like that you're seeing guys come back to the fold or come to the fold that are going to provide an actual opportunity for growth, which is the defense. Even as it's solidified now, there's a possibility of getting more solid. I think that I have been probably really loud on this one thing with the Rockets, which is who is the defensive floor general, who is the kind of communication hub. I think that one of the most encouraging things that I've seen, and for this particular player, it actually hasn't been all that encouraging in this first few games. Dorian Finney-Smith has already proved to be like, oh, this could be the answer. Because the shot has been so-so very early, but he's a guy who very much needs to get into his rhythm with that. He hasn't looked as spry, but of course that makes sense. He's coming off of a lower body injury, and he's still getting himself. Like, he ain't played with this team for real before.
Dude had surgery.
Yes.
Yeah, he's, ankle surgery.
He's still figuring out what it is to play with this team. But immediately what I saw, and this was Christmas Day versus the Lakers, I'm seeing him point dudes in different directions in defense, and I'm like, that's what I've been looking for.
Yeah.
Like, that's what takes you to give you the opportunity to be a lockdown, scary defense in this league. And they haven't been that yet this year, while also still being one of the better offensive teams in the year. I think that's the thing that could take them in a place where maybe we could put them alongside the Thunder and Nuggets and really view them as really sitting in that category of championship contender in the West.
Yeah, your most attentive Rockets minds have pointed out them missing Dylan Brooks this year. I think we've even talked about it. The thing that we probably haven't thought enough about, because he hasn't played up until now, is that Dorian Finney-Smith was kind of going to be that replacement.
Mm-hmm.
I think functionally, you know, they're not the exact same player by any stretch, but functionally, and to the point of this conversation, I think he was supposed to be that replacement. As he gets his legs under him, I think we'll start to see that. And then the idea, we talked about this yesterday, that you can have any combination of these three guys, of Dorian Finney-Smith, Tari Eason, and Amen Thompson out there defending the best perimeter players on the best team, any combination, two of the three guys, is a real luxury for this team.
I keep forgetting to ask you, like, where you are right now with him, man. I need to, because he has been better. such an interesting, I don't know, just anomaly. Is that the right word?
Enigma is
the word that I've been looking for.
Real quick, he's just missing. He had been missing too many bunnies for my liking. For as well as he was playing, my chief concern and issue, I would say there were two: missing too many bunnies and not knocking down enough of those open shots. I understand he's not a shooter, but they're wide open. They're baiting you into taking them. And if you're going to be as aggressive taking them, you got to hit more of them than you do. Wasn't hitting enough open shots, despite the fact that he's not known as a shooter. And he was missing bunnies, ones that he's supposed to make. I feel like he's played a lot better as of late.
Maybe he ends up being a portion of this when we get to 1 o'clock and we do our New Year's resolutions for the Houston sports teams.
The tease.
Yeah, that's what we call in the business, a tease. Right. But right now, In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. Resolutions is one thing. What do you know is going to happen? Can you give me your bold predictions, any and all of them, for the upcoming year in Houston sports? 713-572-4610. And make sure they're bold. I want that. Next.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.